Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and for the next couple of hours, you're kind of stuck with me, whether you like it or not. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And I'm going to turn the headphones down just a little bit. Is that better?
That's good. That's good.
So I got Kurt and Eric from Kurt's Automotive, Bell and I-17, who's been on our list for, since Jesus was a baby, I think it was. We're both that old.
Yeah.
So they can laugh at us all they want, but we knew him.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you a little something, Mark. Mm-hmm. You're a month older than me, and don't forget it.
Yeah, that's okay with me. I'm a month older than a lot of people. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a couple stories.
Okay.
Every Saturday morning, I meet with a bunch of guys, and we're moving around in everybody's garages. So we're at Dave's house. He has a hoist, a drive-on. It's like a 12K. Mm. So we're all sitting. He raises the hoist up, and we're all sitting on the drive-on ramps. So there's a new kid there. He's from Auburn. He plays football. He's a big boy. He's there with his dad. So we're talking about, there's a lady in the neighborhood who has a 1 acre, and she's got 9 horses, and the smell is driving everybody crazy, and she's got a full roll-off dumpster full of horse poop, and they're talking about the neighborhood. So he's listening. His dad's there with him. He's listening. And then he turns around, and he says to Dave, he said, "When was the last time you rode a horse?" And the place gets quiet. Now, Dave's name is not Dave. His name is Cowboy. He was born and raised on a horse. He can do everything on a horse. He goes to ranches throughout the western United States and works on ranches. He knows how to rope and ride and brand and castrate. He can do all kinds of stuff. So the kid says, "When was the last time you were on a horse?" The place gets really quiet. And somebody says, "His name is Cowboy." The kid doesn't know what to say. So everybody's really quiet because this is just something we've never seen before. No one would challenge him.
Yeah.
Now, there's another Dave there that has a stationery company. You wouldn't talk ink pens with him. You wouldn't. There's a guy with paint. You wouldn't talk to him, paint and body. There's a real estate. Everybody has their own area of expertise. So the place is really quiet. So I went over and sat down next to him, and I said, "His name is Cowboy." We call him Cowboy because that's what he is. He probably rode a horse in the last 24 hours. And he goes, "Oh, okay." He says, "Question withdrawn," or something like that. It was funnier than heck. It was kind of like, wow, how do you do that? So we're all laughing at him, but he's a really good sport. He could have whipped most all of us.
Yeah.
But it was just a great sport. And they were talking about the coronavirus, and they were talking about everything else. And we're all sitting there shoulder to shoulder and wondering who's contaminated and all that other kind of stuff. So nobody is self-quarantined. I guess everybody thinks they're tough enough to be able to handle it, or the risk and reward is not worth it.
Yeah.
Everybody's businesses is down. The average is probably 25%. Some of the guys are more. Some of the guys are less.
Yeah.
This whole idea of an idea that we're going to get money from the government.
Nobody better than that, Mark.
One guy goes, none of us are going to get any. But a couple of the guys go, "Well, I think I might, and maybe the kid's doing all that kind of stuff." So there was a little bit of a discussion, but nobody wanted to argue. So this is a Saturday morning in my world. Now, I'm sitting quiet. They don't want to talk cars because we don't want to talk real estate because Joe's there. And then there's another Joe who does paint and body. You don't ever do that.
Yeah.
So you're talking, all right, Joe has put together, he took a VW bus. He cut the middle out of it.
Short bus.
Yeah. And he's got the motor in the back, of course, underneath the bed.
Yeah.
Okay. So he puts this high-performance VW bug. He's got the ignition, or the gauges are all electronic, all this fancy stuff. And he says, "It won't start." I said, "Start or crank?" He goes, "It won't crank." And I said, "Okay." He says, "Everything's there." He says, "I can take a screwdriver and touch 12 to 6. And he says, it'll start. And I said, "Okay." I said, "Did you do a volt drop on it?" "Oh, yeah." "Do you know what a volt drop is?"
"Probably not."
And he goes, "Yeah, I think I do." I said, "No, you don't." Because, all right, so positive, and then just touch negative, negative, negative. Why? Well, the motor sits in rubber. There's a problem here.
Yeah.
So if you can jump it, then you're doing what should have happened from the key. So I explained it all to him. He goes, well, I still don't believe you. And I said, you know what? This group always says that to me. But nobody ever goes the next Saturday and they go, you were right.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
No.
They, hey, Joe, do you ever get, you know, my wife said the other day that she was going to have pumpkin pie. Would you guys like to come over? So there's a lot of that kind of crap going on behind the scenes. But nevertheless, that's a Saturday morning in my world. And I want to tell you, I'm not a drinker. So I'm drinking iced tea or whatever pop they've got there and stuff. But there's a real estate agent. There's two contractors. And we don't argue with one another. If the contractor starts talking, even the other guy doesn't do anything. I mean, it's just a real respectful group until this giant guy that plays football from Auburn decides to go, how many times you met? When's the last time? Oh, I want to tell you something. I thought I was going to wet my pants. Everybody was just as quiet can be. And so I thought I'd save him. And I walked right over to him. Now, he's sitting on the hoist, and he's taller than I am standing up. And I said, son, his name is Cowboy. That was a really dumb question. I think you should apologize. Oh, excuse me, sir. But everybody got a kick out of that. So that was Mark Salem's morning. How was your morning?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
I was able to get up and go to the car wash and eat and everything.
Did you hear what he said? Wash?
Yeah.
Is that W-O or W-A?
I was born and raised in the Midwest, Mark.
Okay, all right. Well, let me ask you this. This is a question neither one of you will be able to answer. What are chaps?
That's the stuff you buy the chapstick for when your lips get chapped.
Okay. I didn't say ED. What's chaps?
That's the leather on the pants that they cover the outside of the pants, isn't it, for cowboys?
Uh-uh. Oh. That's chaps are what motorcycle guys wear. Chaps. Chaps are what cowboys wear. And there was a big argument about that. But no one had heard that. But then he pulls up his phone and he asks for a verbal description of a couple of words. And when he puts in a different description, it comes up. But cowboys wear chaps. There's a chap. But motorcycle riders wear chaps.
Do the chaps have some kind of heat-resistant stuff in them for their engine or something?
I think they just want to dry out the line. Because the guys who are different than most of the cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, the cowboys are clean-shaven. Their hair's close. Their hands are chapped. But what they wear is not chaps.
Yeah.
So we laughed about that for all day long. Every one of us goes, we all got educated today. So I don't know what was in the rest of their glasses, but I was drinking iced tea. I just wanted to let you know. 12 minutes after the hour at 10 o'clock, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, it's 602-508-0960. Had anything that's really eaten your lunch lately, Eric?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you one more thing about the meeting this morning. This is a true story. Evidently, there's a lady with 9 horses on a 1-acre parcel. There's lots of dissension in the neighborhood about the flies, and she has a roll-off full of horse byproducts. So they're talking about this, and the lady, this is the way this story goes. I can't vouch for this, but the lady has posters all over the neighborhood, which, by the way, I saw, that her male cat had been captured by somebody and had his genitals shaved, and she's looking for the culprit. I saw the poster. And then when I left the neighborhood, I saw the posters all over the neighborhood. So before we all left, we had a little get-together away from Cowboy. And then we walked away and we said, we know who it is. And he goes, who? And we all pointed at him and we ran.
Yeah, because he got on his horse and chased you, right?
I'm going to tell you. These are stories you can't make up. And I didn't believe them until I left the neighborhood. I had saw a picture, somebody on the phone, but I left the neighborhood. There's posters all over the neighborhood. So I don't know who that person is, but that's a sick thing to do. All right, speaking of sick things to do, let's take a caller. Good morning. Who am I talking to?
That would be Steve.
Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are y'all?
You know, we're acting stupid, so that's pretty good.
Doing pretty good shape you're in?
Yeah, I'm feeling better.
All right, question came up due to this old virus answer, and I have no answer to it. The question was, Mark.
Hey, Gil, is it our fault or is it his fault?
It's on his end.
Okay.
He's breaking up.
Okay, Steve, all we want you to do, we're going to take a quick break, and what you could do is call back in, because we're hitting every fourth or fifth word. And so I asked Gil if it's us or you, and Gil Estrada said it's you. So if you have any complaints, the radio station is 602-508-0960. How's that for throwing it under the bus?
That works.
I like that. Anyway, give us a call, Steve, and anybody else, 602-508-0960. Believe it or not, we're not going to talk horses. We're not going to talk cats. We're not going to talk that. We're going to talk cars.
Yeah.
Cars, trucks, motorhomes, that kind of stuff. You've got three guys here. You're a master.
Yeah.
He's a master.
Yeah.
Okay, three masters.
Yeah.
We got three guys that have a master's degree in auto repair. Doesn't mean we're smart. Just mean we took the classes and passed them.
Yeah.
How many years of experience you got?
Let's see, 17 from this, about 48.
Okay. Now, that includes, regardless of whether you're leading the pack or you're dictating or you're handing out work or whether your fingernails are dirty, it doesn't really make any difference. When you're in our industry, you have all those skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
20.
20. So you got 40. Let's call it 40.
40.
He's got 20. 70, 30. 73. Do the math for me real quick here. 73, 20 plus 27. Yeah. Okay. I'll take 40 with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that puts us 107.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or 106.
Yeah. Everybody's laughing at me right now because I can't do the math, but they don't understand. I'm looking at the screen. I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all my settings and I'm like, he can't even add. It's 20 and 17. 37.
Yeah.
37 years. Okay. Well, we'll help you. All you have to do is call us 602-508-0960 and we'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. The time is 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Did we get anybody back, or did we get Steve back?
No, he never called back.
He never did. 602-508-0960, car questions. You have three ASE Master Certified Technicians here to talk to you. So if you'd like to join us or have a question, you can. I'll ask you guys a couple of questions. Oil change intervals, difference with oils and stuff like mm-hmm. that. We have a lot of people over in Ahwatukee that drive 2,000 and 3,000 miles a year. And I'm sure you have that in your Jeep. Mm-hmm. And then you've also got the person that puts on 10, 15, 20, or 30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
How does that conversation sound like?
Well, most of the time, Eric doesn't have that conversation with him. He's in there. But on the front office, if they're doing 2,000 or 3,000 miles a year, we like to just get them in once a year.
Okay.
And then have them come by sometime in the other time of year just to let us look under the hood.
Because okay.
that's not a 12 months, a lot of times 2,000 or 3,000 miles. It ain't the miles. It's 14 trips a day to the post office that's a block away and stuff like that.
Right.
So we want to look under the hood, and then we do an oil change once a year. On the other stuff, it's pretty common. We do 5,000-mile oil changes on a regular basis with the blends and stuff like that, and we give them options for other. But if they like to go farther than that, we really like to have them come by once in a while and let somebody check under the hood because,
you're right.
You know, if they're doing 10,000-mile oil changes and that's 8 months in between and they do one in April, that puts them all summer long without anybody looking under their hood.
And you're right, that's even a bigger deal when it comes to the people that are going 10,000 miles a year. And if they think they can go 12 or 15, then it's a year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll tell you two stories that have nothing to do with that, really. A guy calls me up and he says, I just got my car from the shop and they want $2,200 to fix an oil leak between the engine and the transmission. I said, what color oil is it, red or brown? He says, I don't know. I said, well, isn't it on your driveway? And he goes, no. I said, okay. I said, so you don't see anything on your driveway? No. Go look at the back bumper, because that's where we find oil spots. Look at the tailgate. Calls me back. He goes, no. I said, okay, what's the second thing? He says, well, they want to do it. I have to flush my ABS system because the ABS system is very expensive and my brake fluid is just filthy. It looks like motor oil. And I said, okay, how many miles you got? He goes, 60,000. And I said, okay, I think we just have to have somebody look at it, just to confirm that there's an issue. He says, well, I'm going to be driving by your shop. And this guy happened to be married to my older sister. God bless him. He's divorced. Yeah. God bless him. Anyway, so he stops by the shop, and he says, I have pictures of this. And what do you mean you got pictures of it? He goes, well, all the technicians have iPads now. So they take pictures of the car, and they save it with the work order. It's all fancy stuff. Do you guys have iPads? Or
Yeah, okay. We do pictures.
All right. So Eddie gets the two pieces of paper. And one of them is of the brake fluid master cylinder, the master cylinder reservoir, and the other one is this picture of the transmission and engine. So Eddie lifts it up, and he holds the picture up. Then he drops it down, and he holds the brake picture up. Then he goes inside, and he talks to Andy, my daughter, and Alan, my son. He goes, I'm in a very tough situation here. And they said, why? And he goes, well, here's two pictures. And they go, what's the problem? He goes, neither one of this is for his car. Look at the picture and look at the side of the tranny. It's not the same car. He says, look at the engine compartment and look at his engine compartment in the picture.
Huh.
And he has an amber brake fluid.
Hmm.
So there's no oil leak.
Nope.
And there is nothing wrong with the brake fluid. Does that bother you?
Yes, yeah. It does. Because unfortunately... whether they take pictures or don't take pictures, whether it's now or the old days, people that are like that are just a bad reputation for our industry. And the pictures can be very good as long as you're honest. And they can be very bad if you're dishonest.
But, Kurt, he could have just punched in the wrong work order, and they really belong to another car.
That ain't the way it works, Mark. And you know it ain't the way it works. That's what they tell the judge.
All right, so that one went away kind of quick. We didn't even want copies of the picture in the file.
No.
Okay, we don't want nothing to do with that. So then we have somebody else come in, and he happens to be a friend of mine who happens to be a judge. And so he says, I have this big laundry list of stuff that I need, and I would like a second opinion. And I said, any shop's good for a second opinion.
Yeah.
So I said, bring it in whenever you want. Talk to Alan or my daughters or whatever and just talk to him and let him take a look at it. So he goes in and I call my daughter and I says, you know, has he come in? Has he said anything? And he goes, no, he hasn't been in yet. And so a little while later, my son calls me and he goes, yeah, he just came in and he just left. And I said, okay, so what do you think that we've got here? And she says, I don't really know, but he said he sent you a text. And this is the text. Mark, sorry I missed you at work today. The work on the Jeep is complete. I couldn't be happier with the results. I got the items addressed, plus a new set of tires and shock absorbers, and still saved $2,200 compared to the quote I got. Thanks. I got the items addressed. Now, we didn't do but half of the items addressed.
Yeah.
I got that. Half of the items addressed, plus got a new set of tires and a new set of shocks, and still saved $2,200 compared to dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Now, let me get us all out of trouble. We're not just talking about chains, independents, or dealers.
No.
We're talking about all of them.
All of them.
All of them. So all of them. With newer model cars that need service sometimes every 10K, we're not seeing them at 3,000 like we used to. We're creating this fake need. Because we're starving to death. Because we don't have those 3,000-mile stopping points anymore. They could be 5, they could be 75, and they could be 10 or 12,000 miles. It's a tough thing.
But they're still high-tech, and the cars are going 200, 300,000 miles, and the old cars, we threw them away at 100,000.
I agree 100%.
So the work is out there, Mark. If you're just honest and reputable, the work is out there.
Hoses, belts, fluid services based on the owner's manual.
Yeah.
Both of these cars had nothing in the mileage range that they had, or even close, that needed fluid changes of anything.
Yeah.
And this one had amber fluid. It looked brand new.
Yeah.
And they represented it as engine oil, looking like engine oil.
Yeah.
Sometimes that information comes from the shop. Sometimes the service writers just regurgitate what they're told. So it's not fair to be mad at the service writer, but you can be mad at the shop.
Yeah,
whoever that happens to be. All right, we got a caller. Who might that be?
That would be Steve.
Steve, hey, thank you for calling back.
Hey, nope.
Hey, no problem. You can't get rid of me that easy.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. My my question was about automotive cabin air filters.
Okay.
Pretty sure none of those are HEPA-rated filters. I don't think they are. And in all of this coronavirus panic we're having right now, the question came up, how do you disinfect your vent system in the car? And I didn't have a good answer for that. I figured maybe, you know, alcohol spray or maybe like a bleach solution or something.
One minute.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a...
I don't know. What do you guys think?
There is a disinfectant spray that a lot of your automotive stores will carry, and you just got to find the air inlet for the recirculation and turn it on high and spray it in there for 30 seconds and then clear out because it's pretty strong.
Now, we're up against a break.
Yeah.
So, Steve, if we say goodbye to you, you stay there. We'll talk to you on the other end. The air intake on the recirc, 90% of the time, is that your feet on the passenger side?
Feet are right behind the glove box, yeah.
Okay. So it's going to be a hit and miss. But if you take this can and you fill the inside of the car with it, start it up and run the recirc, you got it.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to be the best guy in the carpool.
No.
They're not going to like you unless you let it sit 24 hours. But stay right there, Steve, because we're going to continue this conversation. But I'm 9 seconds away from having to say we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And you're welcome to join us anytime you want. And we need to go back to Steve real quick because Steve had another question. Steve? Steve?
Dropped. Yeah, call dropped.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we were talking about the recirculate underneath the seats and or by the firewall or whatever. But the other fellow mentioned that product that you could use to disinfect the whole system, and I didn't get a name on that. Does anybody have a name on what that is?
Wait a minute. Are we disinfecting the air conditioning system, or are we disinfecting the entire car?
No, just the air circulation system. I mean, you can wipe down all the other stuff, but you can't get in there and, you know,
okay,
and clean that vent system out, and that's what the question was, you know, came up, and I didn't have a good answer for it. So I'm glad to hear about that product, but I don't know what the name of it is.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we know the name.
I don't
of it
remember
either.
The name. We just get it. But we're parts supplier.
All right.
Yeah, we're giving talking about is we're giving him the flush your air conditioning system out and disinfect it the best we have available now. And
right.
As a result of that, it would also be the whole car because we're going to be getting both of them at the same time as long as the windows are rolled up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all righty, Steve. Thank you. Go ahead.
I do have a recommendation for a shop that I've used over the years. Oh, pretty good.
We can't do that. We can't do that. But I appreciate it. But you're welcome to send it to me. And it depends on how you write it up. You can. Mark@MarkSalem.com. Mark@MarkSalem.com. But I got to talk about a good shop because that's good that you're here. Action Auto Repair is just down the street from Kurt's at I-17 and Bell Road. He's at I-17 and Deer Valley. Full-serve, family-owned operation auto shop that serves Deer Valley and North Phoenix since 1983. That's when I met Tom, is in 1983. So he's well-known for being honest, excellent customer service, fast turnaround time. He has ASE Master Certified Technician, so you're not getting a young man working on your very sophisticated car that graduated auto mechanics last year as a senior in high school. So he's a good guy. Those young men work for us, but they don't have the responsibilities of a master tech. Mm-hmm. So, again, Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Okay, 602-508-0960. Dan, are you up?
Yeah, I'm here, Mark.
Yes, sir.
My question is, I got a mathematical one. How many rolls of toilet paper would it take to get a good oil change, synthetic?
Well, hold on just a minute. We can pull that off.
Yeah.
Get your calculator out. Get your calculator
well,
out.
Well, it's right there. Are we buying or are we selling? Because we're going to pay less for them if we're buying than if we're selling.
We're trading toilet paper.
Oh, he wants to trade toilet paper for a synthetic oil change.
Mark, do you remember when we used to use the roller?
So I need synthetic.
Okay, synthetic. What's your synthetic oil change? Round it off. Give me a bracket.
Around $80.
And on ours is the same. I would have said $75 to $80. Yeah. So what? Like how many? How much is a roll of toilet paper? I don't even know.
I would guess that they're probably getting.
So a 12-pack could take it?
Yeah. No, wait a minute. No. Hey, you just sit aside right now, Dan.
We've got our shoes off, and we're counting, so give us a minute.
We need some help on this one.
Yeah.
We're going to need some help. Gil, do you have any idea what a pack of 10 or 16 or 20? Gil, do you have any idea
I'm
what the
it.
Cost? You're on it? Okay, Gil's on this.
Yeah, he's got it. He'll be back in about 5 minutes. He's running down to the store.
And I can speak for most of the shops in town. If this turns out to be like 40 rolls for a synthetic,
big or not,
we could do that.
Yeah.
You know what else we could do?
Okay.
Everybody that comes in for service, we put 2 rolls on the dashboard for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What's that? And then you take a black magic marker and you write Kurt's Auto Repair, and if it's good black magic marker, it'll soak through
all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking marketing here, boys.
Marketing at the best.
Oh, God. Dan, we're going to answer your question.
As soon as Gil gets back from the store.
I'll hear it over the air.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now, so this goes in the record books. On this date at this time, I was asked how many rolls of toilet paper it takes
for a synthetic oil change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Mark, I got the answer.
Okay, go, Gil. Yeah, okay, light yourself
Costco,
up.
A roll of 30, it'll cost you $24.99.
Okay, about a buck a piece. Let's just round it off so we don't look stupid. And we don't have to pull out
80 rolls.
80 rolls.
80 rolls.
Yeah. Dan, it's 80 rolls. But you know what? Kurt and I are going to give you a discount, 75 rolls.
75 rolls will get it this week only, Mark.
That's right. 75 rolls.
That's it.
So, and you know what? Kurt's Auto at I-17 and Mark Salem, Salem Boys Auto at I-10 and Warner. It's the first one.
Right. Yeah,
the first one. Now, how many rolls is it?
75.
75 rolls. We're
75
break.
Yeah, 75 rolls for a free synthetic oil change. But we need to talk like 5 quarts on the top end, because if they bring one of those diesels,
they bring a truck like you and I drive, we're in trouble.
Let's go 5 quarts.
Yeah. 5 quarts.
5 quarts. Now, the benefit of a synthetic is pretty easy. It's 1 year, 15,000 miles about. It'll go. You don't have to do it every 3,000 miles like you do with conventional. It's a superior oil, so there's lots of benefits. But it's one roll of toilet paper. It only gives you $1 credit, and it's to the first one. Call for an appointment. My daughter's
already ringing.
My daughter is crapping her pants right now. She's saying, my dad's giving away a synthetic oil change for 70 rolls of toilet paper.
Mark, do you remember when they had that? They used to put a roll of toilet paper in for a filter. That one outfit was selling that.
Yes.
That
would
make that oil change pretty expensive now.
No, wait a minute. We have one other variable we need to talk about. Single ply or two ply? We'll take whatever they got.
Okay. You could always separate them, Mark, and that'd give you 140 rolls.
Oh, Jeff, that is Jeff responsible for doing that?
Eric.
Oh, Eric. Is,
if we're going to separate them, we're going to let him do that.
All right.
That'd surely be a master tech job.
Okay, we've really gone into the toilet, so to speak. So at this point, we're going to take a break, try to regroup ourselves. And when we come back, the lines are open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back. Well, welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem and Kurt and Eric from Kurt's Automotive, I-17 and Bell Road. Been a member of our best car repair shops for years and years and years. And I don't know that I've ever had a complaint about you guys. I've had a lot of compliments, but I don't think I've ever called you, Kurt, and said, what about this? If I'm wrong, bring it up in a minute.
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
I
don't.
You try to fix things right.
And even if, I tell the story all the time about the motor, the lady with the motor and the oil pressure switch. But let me tell you about Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Since 1970, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing has been in East Mesa, and they do auto repair, light repair, maintenance services, motorhomes, that kind of stuff. Brian and Thelma's families go back to the 50s and the 60s in the gas station days. So both of these young men and women have been brought up in the car repair industry, so they know right from wrong. Brian and Thelma have ASC-certified technicians. They know what to do. They know how to find the problem, diagnose the problem, bid the problem, repair the problem, and then, of course, the last part is drive the car to make sure that you fixed it. So they're on Main Street just east of Stapley. If you're in Mesa, it's the only shop I can recommend. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to go to Richard. Richard, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm ready. Yes, sir?
Hey, I've got an 06 F-150 5.4 FX fork and about 120,000 miles on it. I tow a travel trailer, about 6,000 pounds. Have never had an issue before, but now when I am towing it and climbing, up above about 6,500 or 7,000 feet, I used to do that at 60 mile an hour. Now it drops down to about 25.
Ooh.
And I'm just kind of looking for some ideas on what to look at. The only issue I've had in the last almost 10 years with it, a couple of years ago I had to have the computer reprogrammed or reflashed or whatever they call it.
Okay.
Did that at the dealer. And it's just kind of been since then that I've run into the issue.
Check engine lights? Any check engine lights?
Not anymore. That was the only check engine light I ever had, and it was an EEPROM issue.
Okay.
So just basically a memory issue with it.
Okay. Generically, I'm thinking exhaust or fuel delivery.
Yeah.
I'm thinking some kind of restriction in a cat or something.
Right. That's
what it sounds like.
Yeah, that I cannot. Can you think, Eric and Kurt, can you think of anything else other than it wouldn't be spark?
No. Mass airflow getting dirty.
No.
Well,
it could be.
Yeah, it could be.
Fuel.
Yeah. It should set some kind of code. So.
Yeah, they all should say some kind of. The only thing that really wouldn't would be an exhaust restriction.
That wouldn't set a code.
Yeah.
On diesels, it will with those stupid temperature sensors. But, all right, so how do you check the catalytic converter? Just go drive it?
Well, yeah, you could drive it, you got to heat it up, and then make sure if you're dropping temperature through it, you know, you need some type of infrared thermometer or something. Run it hard and then just see if you're, you know, warmer than out then and then out. If you're warmer out than in, then it's working properly. But if it's cooler out, then it's restricted.
Yeah. So you go to Harbor Freight and you buy the temperature gun, mm-hmm. which is something you'll use in car repair all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're going to drive the heck out of it, give it to your grandson or your son, tell him to go out and drag race on Main Street tonight, and then he pulls
it. I do that more than they do.
Oh, okay. You're my kind of guy. You sit right in this room with us. Okay, and then he's going to drive the heck out of it, push it pretty hard. He's going to crawl underneath it and give me the front. We're talking about something that the cat is okay. What's the front, hot, cold?
You're 600-700 in, you're 800-900 out.
Out, because we're consuming the fuel in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Now, if the cat's plugged, give me the
you're 800-900 in and 500 out.
Okay. So we're sending a bunch of stuff in, but we're not burning it. We're not creating the fire, probably because it's melted down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing you can do, which is an old cowboy way, is drill a hole in the front of it in the pipe and drill a hole behind it, and then go drive it, and then have your wife crawl underneath the truck and put her hands about 8 inches away from those two holes, and you put it up to 2,000 RPM and ask her if there's any difference in pressure.
Yeah.
You don't like that idea?
She wouldn't like that.
Give her some gloves, Dan, okay? My goodness. Yeah. And then something as simple as a fuel filter?
Yeah, but that should throw a fuel trim code.
Yeah, lanes and stuff.
I agree, but he also said it only happens when he's hauling that trailer up and down hills. So I think, I don't know how many times the computer's going to see it, but there is some kind of threshold where we have to see it so many times before we turn on the light.
Yeah.
So a fuel filter would be a cheap guess.
Yeah.
And fuel filter and a temperature gun.
Yeah. Hey, now let me ask you a question. What's the RPMs on that 5.3 when you're hauling that thing up a mountain? And what gear you have? What's the RPMs?
Generally in second, and RPMs probably at 35 to 4.
Yeah. I think it's a good thought.
We're all agreeing with you, and that's in the bad situation. You're in second gear, 33 to 4,000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, fuel filter, fuel pump, exhaust restriction. Not going to be timing.
No.
No. So, your main load sensor, mass airflow, or TPS or something. But
he'd have a hesitation.
He should.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, the math would affect it all the time, you know, not just at 7,000 foot
altitude. Yeah, that's when you're going to really notice it.
That, I agree with Eric.
Yeah.
The air thins out.
Yeah. You're going to see it then under the environment you're talking about. And I wouldn't expect after you take a 6,000-pound trailer, there could be a lot of things that could come and go that wouldn't necessarily, because the computer's going to see this mass, this air, and it doesn't really know what's on the back of it. It just knows where your throttle's at. And it knows how much air is moving through the mouth of the throttle body. So I don't know. That's a good question. Now, here's the deal. You have to call us and tell us what fixed it. Or we're going to hunt you down and tell your wife you're cheating on her. Okay? Okay. I just wanted to make it clear. Let's go to Harry.
Harry, gosh darn it, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good. You guys kind of answered my question already about the single ply or double ply.
Okay, Harry. Do you guys have Harry's phone number?
I'm wondering, you know, you go to Walmart and you're in doing your thing and they got these big giant rolls that are about 12 inches you know, across and everything. How many of those rolls do you consider for the oil change or what?
Harry, are you getting ready to lift some toilet paper from Walmart and bring it or what?
No, I was going to go ahead and hit a truckload of it. I think what's happening with some of these areas in the country.
What the hell would we do with a toilet roll that's 2 feet wide? What would
well,
we do
that's
with
that's what you see. And then you go in there and you pull them out, and they're only about 3 inches wide, but they're, you know, I mean, the dispenser's like a giant thing. And,
you know, we have digressed to toilet jokes. This is a car repair show,
well,
Harry.
This is kind of, I'm kind of leading into it a little bit. You're talking about those oil filters that use the toilet paper.
Yeah.
I used to hit a lot of swap meets and everything, and I got a Franz and I got a Philco. The Stilco's a real pretty looking, thin looking, real nice looking deal. Of course, you guys remember the Franz oil filters, I'm sure. They were a toilet paper one that was big. But,
we did.
Yeah, I kind of figured I would hit you with that, Mark, around Christmas time for a donation deal.
Harry,
like I did with the R12 and the graphite oil.
Yeah.
So.
Okay,
my garage.
Eric, send me Harry's phone number.
Okay,
and his cell phone number.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna have people call him with their used toilet paper rolls to see if they work as good in the oil filter.
Yeah,
that was the day we did that.
Yeah,
we didn't understand a lot about oil and that kind of stuff. Thank you very much, Harry. By the way. We didn't really understand anything about that. I'll tell you something else we didn't understand. The mud inside engines.
Yeah.
We always thought it was Pennzoil.
The paraffin-based crudes. Yes. That's what it was. Yep. That's what we're...
And we would take the oil pan off, and there would be an inch of mud, black jello at the bottom of it, and the pickup assembly was sitting right on top of it. We never understood that. We never understood why that happened. Everybody blamed it on the paraffin oils. It didn't make any sense. But when did it stop, Eric?
I don't know. That's too old for me.
About the time he was born, Mark.
Yeah. All right, let me change the question. When did we go to 195 thermostats?
Computer-controlled cars.
That's when it stopped.
Yeah.
That's when it stopped. We just figured out that that's mud with water and oil.
Yeah.
So we get the engine temperature up over 100 Celsius, I think 212 Fahrenheit, and we boil the water out of it.
Yeah.
So now, when was the last time you guys pulled an engine apart and found mud in it like we had in the 60s and the 70s?
The Kia.
Yeah, we do, but that's because people go thousands of miles overdue without oil changes.
Okay, we had a V6 Kia that was that way the other day, 6 months ago. It's the first one. It was so unusual, everybody had to go look at it.
So this was one that the oil pan was full of mud?
The whole engine. Timing cover. We pulled off to do timing.
Yeah.
It was just like it used to be, Mark.
What did you do?
Cleaned it the best, and we've been doing oil changes like every 1,000 miles. And sometimes just filling the filters and everything still, just because we broke it up so much.
What we used to do is we'd just drain all the oil overnight, and then we'd stick a gas nozzle in the oil filler. And we'd just pump about a buck through it. And we'd do that every morning. And we'd drain it into a 5-gallon pan or something like that, and we'd just flush the engine with gasoline.
Yeah, I knew somebody that used to put a quart of diesel fuel in with it and run it for a little bit and drop it.
Yep, whatever it was, but that's not an issue that we, other than that Kia,
yeah,
that's not an issue we've seen in a long time.
No.
I mean, mud in the motor's just not anything.
Yeah, it was common. I've taken valve covers off where the rockers are moving, but everything's just coagulated all around it.
It's like Jell-O.
Yeah.
It's like a black Jell-O.
Yeah.
But most folks, even if it's Grandma Moses who lives in a retirement community and does 3,000 miles a year, we're not likely to see it from them.
No.
So we're way past this as being an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, the gas nozzle worked actually pretty good. It came out kind of blumpy, you know, bloop, and sometimes you had to spend $20 to get it clean.
At a dollar a gallon.
And 39. It was 35, 37, and 39. That's when I started in 1968.
Oh, okay.
The issue really is today you might as well put a motor in it if you're going to flush it with gas.
It's cheaper.
Yeah, it's exactly right. All right, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Eric, when you get Harry's phone number, just pass it on to me.
All right.
We'll make sure Harry's a very popular guy. Talking about, I remember those big rolls. Do you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those ones that were 2 feet?
Yeah.
They sell them now for, like, commercial stuff. You see the big, like,
yeah,
go to any public restroom, that's usually what they use them.
But here's the hard part. Say, for instance, you had one.
1 minute.
And you were concerned about going to a place that didn't have toilet paper. Where are you going to hide that big son of a gun?
You'd have to use a backpack, Mark.
Well, that might be fine. Or you could get a really big Western hat and put it inside the Western hat and just wear it. You know what I'm saying? All righty, 602-508-0960. You can join whatever. The door is wide open. Oh, we're not talking politics, though.
We don't talk politics.
Yeah. We're not going to take the chance of alienating half of our customers, so we're not going to do anything else. But if you have a funny story, and then you can start it off with, one time my wife, you could start it out that way. But the reverse is true. One time my husband, and they could do something like that. And the only people that you're not going to take a caller from, what's your wife's name?
Kathy.
Kathy, what's yours?
Amy.
Kathy, Amy, or Renee. You're not going to be taking any callers from Kathy, Amy, or Renee. Because I remember one time when Mark was trying to flush the air conditioning system out, and there was a fire. Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Eric from Kurtz Automotive and Kurt from Kurtz Automotive, I-17 and Bell Road. I think we are in a group of shop owners that get along wonderfully.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I know that if somebody came in and said they had a problem with me, you'd help me.
Yes.
And I would do the same for
yes.
you. I think we're a good group of guys because we know right from wrong, and most of us are gray-haired.
Mm-hmm.
And our second generation isn't necessarily yet.
He is. Close.
He's gray.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's not called, well, your age, it's not called gray.
Oh.
It's called platinum.
Platinum. All
yeah,
right.
It's just platinum. And or, you know, you can call it anything. Chrome. A couple of my friends call it chrome.
Yeah.
It's not gray. But anyway, we do have a good group of guys. You can go to marksalem.com and then click on the best car repair shops, and we've got guys all over the town that I have investigated and I have checked, and I believe they're to be my list of shops is the best one around. Let's talk about a good shop, and that's Auto Dynamics in Sun City. Since 1982, they've been in business, and Chuck, who started Auto Dynamics, and I worked together when I was in high school in 1968, and he worked at a mobile station, and I worked at a mobile station. I worked at a Shell station. That was what the deal was. But I've known Chuck for a long time, but his son Derek now runs Automotive Dynamics. So if you're in Sun City, then I would and you don't have a repair shop you love and trust, Auto Dynamics is on the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. Just west of 99th Avenue. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Listen to you for years. Enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
I have a question regarding a Lexus. It's an 09. It's an ES350. I'm advised by the dealer that the CV boots are leaking and would need to be replaced and the thing realigned. A ballpark guess for the cost of such a job, assuming there's nothing else involved, might be what to what?
Let me just say something to you. It is okay for you to say, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. And if they say no, you need to worry about that. It's okay for someone to take a snapshot from a shop phone and send it to you and say, this is what, and we can give you two pictures because we got so many cars on the rack that we can show you your boots that are torn and throwing grease all over the place and another axle boot,
yeah,
even if it's off a Toyota or Chevrolet that's clean.
Yeah.
Now, okay, we're going to talk about this amongst ourselves. Doesn't it usually throw grease that drops on the floor if we start spinning a boot?
We don't see that much anymore. It's so thick, and there's so many undercovers and everything. We don't really see a lot slung anymore.
Okay. Especially if it's an inboard boot or something.
Okay. The plunge one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. All right. I'm going to. You go the answer first. You're good. Now, how many miles are on the Lexus?
It's a little less than 70,000.
Okay. Well, we're not talking new axles then. We're talking about just joints or do a rebuild axle.
Okay.
Go ahead.
In our parts suppliers, it's about as cheap to put brand new ones in as it is to.
That's what I was thinking too.
Put, you know, rebuild them. By the time you labor them to rebuild them and everything, it's not worth it.
Well, you've got, like you said, you got to take the axles in and out, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
But if you take the axle out, you disassemble it. You got both joints to deal with. You're gonna have to grease at least one and replace, and maybe replace the other. But you're gonna do the boot and the new grease and all that kind of stuff to just do a slip and slide. Grab two axles, pull them out, put them back in is much better.
Yeah.
But he's got 70,000 miles.
A little premature.
Yeah, at nine. It's a nine. So I think I would get another opinion. Who does your oil changes for you?
Well, it's always been the dealer, but
okay.
I'm in North Mesa, and I'm probably closest to one of your shops, which is Thompson.
Yeah.
They're kind of just down the road from me. Do they do that sort of thing?
No, here's what you're going to do. You're going to call Thompson's and say, I'd like to bring my Lexus in for an oil change. What's convenient for you? And then you say to them, by the way, I would like very much to at least look at the underside of my car when it's there. Would I be allowed into the shop to go look at the bottom of the car? He's going to say yes.
Okay.
And then then when you get there, you don't let the cat out of the bag, but when you get there, you say to the technician, gosh, I've never seen the bottom of my car before, obviously, because it's never been on its top. But where are the boots at? And he'll show you, because yours is going to be up front.
Yeah.
And then you go, do you think those are okay? And if he says, yes, well, how do you know they're okay? Because they're not slinging grease.
Yeah.
The flip side of the same coin is, yeah, that one there's bad. You can see it's slung a bunch of grease all over. That's all you have to do. A second opinion and an oil change. People can ask to go into the shop. How many people ask you to go into the shop?
Very few.
How many people do you grab off the floor and bring them out into the shop?
More than the ask.
Yes, absolutely. And it's an integrity issue. It's a matter of, let me show you what you... Because, you know, they can go Google a bad boot. That's fine.
Yeah.
Go knock yourself out.
Yeah.
So it's really... We're taking customers. If they're in our lobby, they're coming out to see the car. If we're doing one of those... Tell me if this is right or wrong, your butt's coming outside.
Yeah, if it's a second opinion, we want to show them why we say what we say.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So in your particular case, Patrick, I would do just exactly what I suggested to do. And it doesn't make any difference what shop it is. That is a perfectly acceptable conversation to have. So, and then after you're all done, you tell Brian or Thelma or whoever's at the front counter that you have a coupon from Mark Salem for 95% off, but you'll have to get in the glove box to get it before you pay the bill. So.
Okay, well, one quick question.
Sure.
The oil change is, you know, this is not a high miler. We don't use it a lot. It probably isn't due for an oil change anyway. Could I just short-circuit it?
Tire rotation.
Tell Thompson's what I was told, and, yeah.
Why don't you do a tire rotation? Say, I'm just throwing stuff out, but what about, I'd like to make an appointment for a tire rotation, and along with that, I'd like you to check my brakes.
Yeah, or you could just say, it's getting ready to get warm, and I might travel for the summer. Can we do a
safety inspection on the bottom side of the car?
Yeah.
There's a lot you can say. Now, our customers might very well say, I need a second opinion.
Yeah.
And that, but... It's perfectly acceptable for Patrick to do what we're suggesting.
Yeah.
It's how you talk to us. It's what you ask us for. really and truly, if we're bad, we're not going to let you see that.
Yeah.
We're going to sell you the boots. We're going to look, go in the shop and come back and say, yeah, you got boots bad. If he did have bad boots, finish your estimate. Two new axles are in our labor.
Nope. Yeah, this would be, and he said alignment too. So you're give or take hour and a half aside.
Okay, three.
And then off the top of my head, I think axles are 200-ish, 250 piece.
I'm going to go 250.
Yeah.
So you got $500 worth of axles.
Yeah.
And you've got 3 hours at $150.
120 or 150. Okay. Yeah, depending upon where you are. Yeah.
I'm just thinking the top end for self-preservation.
You should be able to get everything for $1,000 or less.
Or less. Yes. No questions.
Yeah. No questions. That's both sides, all new axles, all four boots, and alignment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you did an alignment, you want to make sure your steering wheel's straight and the car goes down the road straight if the road's flat. But if it's this crowned city street, you're probably going to drift a little right, and there's nothing we can do about that. We can either make it go straight on the highway or we can make it go straight on the city. But most of the time, we can't do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what I might do is just ask them to rotate the tires, check the alignment, and while they're at it, look on the underside and see what we got.
There you
go. You can do that. I like how you're going to take something you need and then dovetail that into it. And then you can say to them, is there any possibility I can go out in the shop and look? And I just want to watch the technician, and if you'll ask him to talk out loud.
Yeah.
Tires are looking good. No abnormal wear issues here. Exhaust is good. There would be black here if it was leaking at this seam. And as far as the shocks are concerned, you got good shocks. None of them are leaking oil, but by age, they're 11 years old.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to improve the ride, but you run a risk that we might do a lot of shock work, and you're going to say, it rides the same.
Yeah.
So there's a risk there. And so that's the conversation that you can have. And really and truly, we're trying to please our customers, and I represent a huge contingent of independent shops, and I don't represent about a third of them. So that's the best advice we can give you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Patrick.
Well, thanks.
Uh-huh. Speaking of another good shop that's up in your area, Strictly Diesel, Nate.
Nate.
He is a giant of a man. He has tennis rackets for hands. I shudder to think that if I was a young man dating his daughter and he got his hands around my head, you know, because I got her home late or something. But he's the nicest guy in the whole wide world, and he really does know diesel. So if you got a diesel and nobody can fix your car or your truck, if you got a diesel that you want to talk about maybe doing some modifications to, if you got a diesel that they tell you the part's not available, then call Nate. Because he'll know if there's a part available, and he also makes some repairs that aren't available anywhere else, like a dipstick issue.
Yeah.
And he's got an adapter for that works pretty good. So Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. They're open Monday through Friday, and they also sell parts 24 hours a day on their website. So Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. You were going to say something?
No, I wasn't.
You were just going for nothing?
No, that wasn't me. That was him.
Oh, okay. I am going to talk about another shop that we're real proud of, and that's Blackwell Automotive. Him and I are brothers with different mothers. We're both kind of ornery, and he did something for me the other day. I couldn't find anybody to take this lady's Chevy pickup and install the air conditioning that she had purchased from the web. And so you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And you don't know what compressor they're using, and does it include the lines? And by the way, I'd like to put power brakes and power steering in it at the same time. So I called a couple of shops, and nobody wanted anything to do with that. Here's the other part of the story.
1 minute.
She had a friend, and the friend told him that this mechanic was really good. So the truck's been at this mechanic's house for a bunch of time. I don't know if it's a week or a month. I don't know. So I call Blackwell and I say, hey, I got this thing. She lives up near you, and I need some help on it. And da 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 da, and power steering and brakes and air conditioning and everything else. And I'm having a tough time finding somebody to take this thing. And he goes, I'll take it. I said, you will? He goes, yeah, just send it over to me. I said, you understand? He goes, just send it over to me. I got this. So she calls me back. She drops off Thursday morning. She calls me back Friday afternoon. She says, I'm driving away. In 2 days, he installed the air conditioning. He changed the compressor bracket, moved it to the other side of the motor, completely installed factory air with the recirculation system and everything else. He changed the, I'm pretty sure it was power steering and power brakes he converted.
Wow.
And this lady thinks I walk on water, and I said, you need to talk to Blackwell, because I dared him, and he did it. So anyway, Blackwell Automotive, 40th Street and Greenway, and he's a good guy, and obviously he knows hot rods.
Yeah.
Obviously he knows that, what are we looking for when you redesign a car?
Yeah. Modifications.
Thank you. He does lots of those, and he's really good at what he does. So 40th and Greenway, Tom Blackwell, Blackwell Automotive. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. We're going to be here till noon talking about car and car repair stuff, and I was remiss in not giving you the phone number that you could call in and ask us car questions, and really there's nothing you're going to ask us that we haven't already discussed in our lives. We haven't already been asked, except there's some really weird stuff.
Yep.
Like, you know, I roll up my passenger window and I hear a meow. Okay, well, we'll get the cat out of your door, something like that. I mean, those kinds of things we're not going to be able to help you with. But anything else, Automatic Transmission Exchange has been in Phoenix since 1968. When you go down 40th Street in Washington, north side of the road, you'll see a transmission shop there. It's been there a long time. Phil actually worked on Fred Flintstone's rock-tired car. That's how long Phil's been in this industry. So if you're in Phoenix and you need transmission work, perhaps a leak or perhaps a diagnosis or something with respect to your transmission, or even if you don't know if it's the transmission or the engine, which is a problem we have a lot of times, then maybe Phil can help you determine this is a transmission problem or it's an engine problem. So that's Automatic Transmission Exchange. We call it ATE, and that's at 40th Street in Washington on the north side of the road. 602-508-0960. Any kind of car question you have, we can help you out. We've got lots of customers like you. We're going to go back to the oil change stuff. The ladies that drive 3,000 miles a year, we put them in conventional.
Yeah.
They're plenty covered. Then it goes from 3,000 to 75, or to 5, and then 5 to 7,500 miles, and then synthetics depending on what you're pouring. Now, what are you guys pouring? Are you doing the 540 or the 1540?
For which ones?
For any of them.
We do both.
Both. Depending upon the, engine it is.
We've even got some of the new ones that are, what's that?
016.
016.
Yeah. That oil's going to be expensive.
It was.
It's extremely expensive.
Yeah. And until it gets mainstream.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what we're pouring. We're pouring 540s for the full synthetic ones, and we're converting a lot of the 1540s, which is a blend in our line, the 1540s to a 540 to give them the longer oil change intervals. So, but the default is look at the oil cap or look at the owner's manual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the default. The problem is what happens, you guys, there's a special General Motors oil that we use, Dexos, is that what
Dexos,
it is?
Dexos, and it's now Spec 2.
Spec 2. So why don't you put that in there? General Motors says that's the oil for my engine.
And all the newer stuff, why pay the extra when you don't need that extra?
Okay. Well, what's the difference between their Dexos or Spec oil and what you pour?
A specification.
Yeah, specification. Yeah. My answer is it's the same thing.
Yeah.
If you think General Motors has their own well and they can refine the oil and they put it in a can, that's craziness. So it's just another brand in their can. So it's like a lot of the rest of them. It's, you know, there's only two oil filter manufacturers in the United States. Can you guess?
Wix is one.
Champ is the other.
Champs.
Those two guys. There's only five companies that pull oil out of the ground and actually make an engine oil. And I'm going to screw this up. It's going to be Phillips 66, Chevron, Mobil, Shell, and there's one other. I can't remember what it is, but those four people actually pull it out of the ground and make engine oil. But then, so you wonder, which one of those is the General Motors oil coming from and the Motorcraft oil from and all the rest of those private label things?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter, it's our job. We got a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
Say hello to Vicky.
Vicky, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. I've got a question. What causes an engine to diesel, and does it do any damage to it?
Okay. All three of us know Schwaya diesels, but we're all universal in you don't want to let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So there's, I'm going to, just a minute here. There's usually three reasons. Can you think of them? Okay. You be first and talk about one of the reasons.
Well, it depends if you're talking older or newer cars.
Fuel injected or carbureted, Vicki?
Carbureted.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
They're running hot and they just, the fuel just keeps burning.
And usually a high idle. We're seeing a high idle where we're still delivering fuel after it shuts off. Yeah. Dirt?
You're going to have timing, you're going to have the temperature, and you're going to have carburetor settings.
And that's it. He got all three of them. See, he's smarter than you.
No, it's carburetors.
Okay.
You and me know carburetors, Mark. If it's fuel injection, we have to talk to Eric.
Okay. The dieseling part is this. In order to have the car diesel, which runs means run after you pull your key out, it's knocking and pinging and all that kind of stuff, you have to have fuel delivery, and you have to have something that's glowing red hot in order to ignite the fuel. So you got a carbon buildup, but here's... Just go with me or raise your hand and say, Mark, you're full of BS. A high idle where the throttle plates are open more is the first place you want to start.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. So in any case, guys, in drive, no AC on a carbureted car. Idle?
600-700 RPM.
Bingo. I agree with you. I agree with you. That's okay. We're not going to talk about a fuel injected because once we turn the key off, it doesn't have any more fuel. So if it's up above 700, now we got to mention in drive or in neutral.
Is it 6.7?
Yeah.
Yeah, in drive.
Okay.
Because when you put it in, if it's in neutral, when you put it down, it drops way too low.
Okay. But I needed to clarify that with them. You and I are talking techie crap here, but they don't understand. So 600 to 700 in drive.
Yeah.
But if it was 800 or 900, Vicki, if she could find somebody, put a half a turn out on the idle screw.
Yeah.
And that might take care of it. But, Vicki, the answer to your question is, okay, Kurt, she comes in and she says, my car's dieseling, and you've got this young buck back in the shop, and it's slow. What are you going to estimate are you going to give her a diag, or are you going to give her a diag number, or are you going to give her a fixed number?
We're probably going to start with a half hour.
Okay. All right.
Because we're going to have to see what the timing's at, what the idle's at.
And what's running kind of hot. Maybe it's carbon or we got a thermostat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm picking the middle out of this, okay? That half an hour represents between $60 and $80 a half an hour, depending on who you are.
Right.
Everybody in our industry is somewhere between 120 and 140, 150 an hour. So this might very well be one of those where it's $60 to find it and another $3 to fix it, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be the other way around where they've modified the engine and we're going to have to put a idle up solenoid on it.
For the air conditioning?
So that we can shut it down when it shuts off the engine.
Now, Eric, do you know what we're talking about?
Actually, I do.
I told him once.
Us gray-haired guys. Now, we use idle up solenoids for a lot of things.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, we've installed those a lot. And folks, what we're talking about is a solenoid that's connected to the ignition system, and when you start your car, it pops out and it sets the idle. And in the old car's cases, it would idle at 600 in drive, but when you turn the air on, it would drop dramatically. So the idle kicker would then pop out and bring you back to 600.
Yeah.
And so that's what it was. We had this very archaic, very Fred Flintstone way of keeping you at 650 in drive with your air conditioning on or off. How many guys do you know that actually knew how to set those up, Kurt?
Well, there's two in this room.
Eric's not a part of that two, is he?
No. Well, I could help him, though, if he needed it.
No, that's right. But you understand the concept. That's the important part is the
concept. If I've got the big stone wheels, I call him because he knows how to chisel them away.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Eric, I'm sorry you have to leave, but he's now gone. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Thank you for calling, Vicki. If you have any kind of car question or if you want us to vote on something, then 602-508-0960. Kurt and Eric from Kurt's Automotive, I-17 and Bell. Well, welcome back, everybody. Turn off my speakers so we don't have to listen to the feedback. See, we're talking in the middle of all of this kind of stuff. Let me tell you about one other good shop, and that's Larry Harker's Automotive, 38th Avenue and Indian School. They've been around since 1967. When you go in the front lobby, you'll be dealing with Ellen. Her husband, Bob, is in the back. They also have a technician that's a relative of theirs. His name is Jeremy. Have you ever met anybody that had passed every single ASE test they make? Paint and body, school buses, big trucks, framework, fuel, climate controls. He's one of like four in the United States that's passed every single ASE test.
How old is he, Mark?
I don't know. He's no older than this buck sitting next to us.
Yeah, I knew he was a young man.
Yeah. And to give folks a perspective, in order to be a master tech, you have to pass all eight automotive for passenger car, light truck.
Mm-hmm.
No paint and body,
mm-hmm.
Nothing else. Just drivability, all the aspects of this. So you've got paint and body, you got school bus, you got big truck, you've got a variety of other portions of our industry that we can't say that we're masters in.
Yeah.
But a master's in ASE is the same as a master's degree in college.
Yeah.
Because if you're ASE certified in one or two of the eight categories, then you're ASE certified in automotive.
Right.
But to be a master, you've got to clean up the whole slate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, at Larry Harker's Auto, Jeremy is one guy that's been around the block more than once. And I got a caller. Who might that be, Gil?
That would be Gary.
Gary, good morning.
Good morning. I have a quick question that you can answer quickly. I'm going to get to it about oil.
Okay.
But I have a set of Firestone tires on a car, and I went back to the Firestone dealer because they rotate them free. So they did. And then they handed me a bill for almost $70. And I said, what's that for? Well, they inadvertently had changed the oil instead of rotating the tires. But they immediately ownership of it and said, gosh, we're sorry, and you just got a free oil change. But then I asked him, I said, what type of oil did you put in? And they said, Pennzoil. Well, I'm old and synthetic, and I'm old enough to remember all the Pennzoil stories about slugs that you talked about earlier in the deal. My quick question is, am I okay with today's Pennzoil full synthetic?
Well, let me ask you a question. What year is your car?
This one is an old one. It's a 2001 Buick with 111,000 miles on it.
What do you think, young buck Eric?
He's perfectly fine. Nowadays, oils are all blended down really nice.
And I want to tell you, and Kurt?
Yeah, it's good. Okay. I won't worry about it a bit. I'd say thank you.
And I think Pennzoil was just an innocent victim of all those circumstances. I don't think it was Pennzoil or Quaker State or any of the rest of them. I think we were running the engines too cold. We were sludging them up because they boiled the water out of them. So this whole thing about Pennzoil being the bad guy, would you agree it's not true?
No. I've never seen it.
We were wrong back then.
Yeah.
We were wrong. So, and we were getting advice from the young bucks, and that's part of the reason that we were wrong. Right, Eric?
I don't know. You were the young bucks back then.
Yeah. No, we weren't. No, we weren't. Anyway, that's it, Gary. If they're going to do a free oil change for you, I would want to know conventional, semi-synthetic, blended, or synthetic, and then your oil change interval will change based on that. But that was nice of them to do. Yeah. Did they still charge you everything?
No. They immediately reduced the bill and said, "Was sorry," and went ahead and rotated the tires, and the oil change part was off. And I was just, you know, you've answered my question.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry at all about the quality of the oil.
Okay? No, we promise that you don't have to worry about that. We promise. Okay, Gary, thank you very much. And Pennzoil. Huh, just write it down so that we know what we were talking about.
Yeah.
What oil are you guys pouring?
We use the,
factory.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they use the big company in town.
BP. Oh, okay, okay, okay. British Petroleum, is that what the maker of the oil is?
I believe so.
Okay, I think so too.
Yeah.
It's no different, what you're talking about from factory is no different than it's an oil that's brought in by a parts manufacturer that they're recanning in their brand.
Their brand. So, and we buy it in bulk.
Yeah, and for us, it's Chevron.
Yeah.
We have a relationship with Chevron.
Yeah.
It started out, it's kind of hard not to pour Chevron when three or four of your customers are big shots at Chevron. Now, nobody else in the lobby cares what I'm pouring,
yeah,
except we have a guy. We don't take American Express because it costs a lot.
Yeah.
So he's a big shot at American Express, and he brings that to our attention. So my daughter signed us up with American Express, and we have three charges a year.
Every time he comes in.
Just to make him happy. Just to make him happy. And we'll go to extremes just to make him happy. Yeah. And we're not adding the 3% onto his ticket either. But we all have to make those concessions.
You do.
All righty, 602-508-0960. If you have a question or a call, or if you have an argument you want to do that, then heck, we're up to it.
Yeah.
602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. The time is 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we're going to go straight to the phones with you guys, and we don't have any feedback, so that's good. And we're going to start with Tom. Tom, good morning to you. How can we help you?
How you doing, Mark? I had a question, a specific exhaust gas recirculation, and I've done some reading that some of the newer cars with direct injection need to have an oil catch can. Have you had any dealings with those?
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Yeah, we've seen them. Yes and no. I mean, if you're doing regular services, they're really overkill, but at the same time, they're, you know, something that doesn't hurt it, but it doesn't. I can't say it's going to help it.
You know, we're talking about an EGR.
Well, he said, because, well, a lot of them, they cancel the EGR on the new direct injection because they can do lean burn and everything else, so they can variable the cam timing, fuel controls, all that stuff.
We don't need EGR anymore.
We don't need it. So, but they're running higher crankcase pressures because of the direct injection.
Okay.
And they're having a lot more blow-by because of the direct injection. So people are trying to add catch cans to keep the intakes cleaner because now we're getting a lot of the carbon problems on the intakes.
Okay.
So I can't say they've done good, and I can't say they've done bad.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. We still have a PCV valve on that, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, PCV valve, for everybody else, is positive crankcase ventilator. So what we're doing is we've got fresh air coming in on the driver's side of the motor. The air moves through the engine, through the crankcase, and on the other side we have a vacuum cleaner called a PCV valve. So we're sucking on the driver, the passenger side of the engine, from a vent on the driver's side. So that positive crankcase ventilator just reintroduces that fuel to the engine.
Yeah.
So we're just a big circle.
Yeah, those catch cans are putting on the fresh air breather side, so when you're under high pressure, under load, they're not blowing backwards down the...
Okay. So on the fresh air, otherwise air coming into the engine, we're going to put a catch can there.
Yeah.
Because we're overpressuring the engine and we're kicking some oil back that way.
Yeah.
On the other side, the vacuum cleaner, the PCV valve, can suck all it wants.
It's baffled to get all that out.
But by the same token, the PCV valve is just a vacuum cleaner for the fumes inside the engine.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you do if it was your car?
You know, if you need a nice bright chrome one, you know, looks really cool,
yeah,
and show it off.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I probably wouldn't do anything.
Are you going to... That's what I like about you. You are so damn technical.
Chrome.
Yeah. Oh, so titanium? Okay, let me ask you. We got a breather over there. So what we're doing is we're leaving the breather on, or we're going to put a new breather that has a catch can attachment to it?
Basically, you'd pull the breather hose off from the intake tube to the valve cover.
Okay.
The catch can goes in the middle with a little filter-type system inside of it. And you drain that out every oil change or something like that.
This is on the fresh air side, not the PCV valve side. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So normally on the fresh air side, we suck air from the air cleaner assembly. We clean it first, and then we suck it through the motor and out the other side.
Yeah.
So in your case, it's on the fresh air intake side.
When you're under high load conditions where you don't have the vacuum, it traps the oil that's coming out of the fresh air side.
Okay. Well, what kind of car are we talking about, Tom?
Yeah. It's a new Mazda CX-5.
Okay.
And it's got the 2.5 in it, and then just, you know, you hear the stories in there. Again, I don't know how much you get into those intake valves and all carboned up, you know, because you're not getting that gasoline spray on it, on the valve.
You want to comment on that?
And service it once a year. Do a intake valve cleaning once a year. And
what we've got here is direct injection.
Yeah.
We're spraying, before we used to spray, you know, past the, or into the back of the valve, and we cleaned up any oil that was sliding up and down on the backside of the intake valve. Today, we're injecting the fuel directly into the cylinder. So now we're carboning up to the back of the valves because we don't have the gas cleaning that off. So yes, it is something that we're seeing a lot of.
Yeah.
In an extreme way sometimes.
Yeah, just depending upon the type of driver, right. and
drive it like you stole it, Tom, and you won't have to worry about that.
Well, one of the problems with the catch cans is we've seen a lot of people put them on and then they don't ever drain them. So after they fill up in a little while, they don't do any good anyway if you don't drain them.
And they also have to have some vent in them, which means it's going to make a heck of a mess once it fills the can.
Well, that's why they're just in line with that breather.
Okay.
Once it fills the can, it's just pushing oil back in.
Back in.
Yeah, like it's...
So if you don't drain it, they don't do any good at all.
Yeah. Alan put a catch can on my diesel because, for whatever reason, the boost has changed slightly.
Slightly?
Slightly.
Is it chrome, Mark?
No, it's not. So he did put this catch can on there. And the first time I drove it, I opened the hood, and the whole underside of the hood in front of the driver's side is covered with oil.
He didn't close it all the way?
I was kind of mad. this is, and it also has a brand new valve cover on it with our company name on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a little, okay. So I call him and he says, yeah, we're working on that. We're working on that. He says, it's the baffle coming off the top of the valve cover on the 6.7 Dodge. So after he doesn't perform as quickly as I could, you know those green pads we use to clean stuff? They're like by four.
Uh-huh.
I cut three pieces to fit on the top of the vent. And then I riveted them together, so, and then I stuffed them in the half moon opening. Fixed.
Yeah.
So you do have to, and he put a dipstick in there, so you can actually pull the dipstick out of the catch can and see how much oil's in there. Then at the bottom, there's a valve that opens and closes. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wish he would have just done his testing on somebody else's truck other than mine. Anyway, Tom, well, you thought I was teasing when I said drive it hard, but I'm not.
These need to be driven hard occasionally.
Yeah, you just need to, if you're going to drive around as if you had a hot cup of coffee on the dash, you're going to see us every year or earlier than that.
Yeah.
But if you drive it like you stole it every once in a while, you're going to be better off. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And Mike, you're up next. How can we help you?
Yeah, hi, Mark. Thanks for your program. I sure enjoy it. And there's an old hot rodder from the 60s. I sure appreciate it.
Oh.
three quick little deals. I had the occasion 3 or 4 years ago. They put in a semi-synthetic oil in my S10, 2000 S10 I've had since new. And, of course, it started leaking right away because I had no previous synthetic in it before. So I switched back over to the regular oil, and it drips less now. So have you guys seen that with older cars when they put in semi-synthetics and it starts leaking?
Not generally. It's the weight of the oil is more or less where you're at. They might have changed the weight a little bit on that one, but generally speaking, you said it's dripping a little less. All it did was show you that you had some leaks anyway, so I wouldn't blame it all on the synthetics, that's for sure.
And I agree with that. That's what happened when we transitioned into synthetics.
Yes, it did.
Because we had a lot of people, but it has a lot more than the weight. Right now, we're at zero.
Yeah.
And so it flows like a zero when it's cold.
Yeah.
Okay, that's like water.
Yeah.
Okay, so a 0-20, it flows like a 20 weight when it's hot. It does cause oil leaks, but in reality, I agree 99% with you. It was there anyway.
Yeah.
We just aggravated it.
Yeah, and the newer cars have a lot better valve cover gaskets, oil pan gaskets, all that. They're a lot better than some of the older ones. Depending on its year of S10, it might be really hard to keep a full synthetic from leaking on that car.
And I'd also make sure the PCV valve was working on that that S10, because if we're not sucking the fumes out of it, then we're building pressure, and that pressure is going to cause an oil leak as well. So it could have been that they could be related. But if I were you, how many miles are on that S10?
88,000. It's a new Patterson's new 2000. 88,000. I'm sorry, it's a 2000 S10. 88,000 miles. Had it new, and it's a 5W30 oil.
Okay, if you wanted to run a test, put 30 weight in it for 3,000 miles and see what happens.
On the 30 weight pulse synthetic?
Yeah. No, I'd use a 30 weight conventional. Let's check both ends of the spectrum because what you've got is way left and what I'm offering is way right. So if you come back and you say, oh, it made all the difference in the world, then we got kind of an answer.
Yeah.
But your gaskets, I think on that 2000, we still got a lot of cork.
Yeah, well,
but today we got those rubber gaskets that are virtually bulletproof.
The 2000, if I remember right, is also got a plastic timing cover with an inset seal.
Uh-huh.
Once it starts leaking, there's no fixing it.
It's a 2.2 engine. And
it's a four-cylinder.
Oh, it's a four-cylinder.
Yeah. I don't know.
From the timing chain area.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Thank you, Mike, for calling. You know, one time we had an oil leak on a timing chain that was like a 10-hour timing chain, and in the old days we used to do this. We used to clean up the area that it was leaking, and then we would bring another vehicle in, and we would disable the PCV valve system. And we'd put a cork in the one side where the PCV valve is, and then we'd block off the other side so the engine was kind of tight. So we'd run the vacuum hose off of car number 2 to the dipstick tube without the dipstick. So we'd create a vacuum inside the engine. Okay? Then we'd take a screwdriver with some silicone. Now keep in mind, we've got this leak in about a 2-inch area. So the engine is filled with vacuum, so you take your silicone with your screwdriver, and you just paint the area where it's leaking.
Start sucking it in.
Sucking it in. And you'd put one or two screwdrivers on there, and then you'd shut everything off and let it sit. The first time we tried it, it didn't work. So we take the cover off there, and there's like 2 tubes of silicone inside. But it has worked since on the older model cars. As long as it's got a PCV valve in it and it's operating, then we have successfully sucked hard on the motor's not running, of course.
Yeah.
But the motor's off, the key's in your pocket. We're sucking hard on the dipstick tube, and you don't suck hard on the dipstick tube if the bottom sits in oil. You got to have it above the level of the oil. You suck the oil. But anyway, suck hard on the motor, and then clean that area up with brake clean, and just a little bit of silicone. Have you ever heard of that?
No, Mark.
Okay. How about you, Kurt?
That's one I haven't heard of, Mark. You've done well.
In 1985, we did that. That's when we made the mistake of filling the engine up with silicone. It's the way it is.
Yeah.
You live and learn. But we learn from one another.
Yeah.
Someday you're going to try that, Eric.
Yeah, he'll do it.
You're going to try that. Now, obviously, a front seal, rear seal, that's not going to work. No. Back of the intake might work. Yeah. Oil pan, timing cover, maybe. But you've got to have a good source of vacuum. I can tell you right now, the vacuum pump for our AC ain't going to pull that down.
How about one of them vacs they use on to evacuate the radiator, the cooling system?
I don't know why that wouldn't work, because sucking fluid's going to take more power than sucking air.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that would work. So I'm not suggesting that we invent that and sell it. I'm just saying there's been a lot of time between me and you.
Yeah.
So we were smarter generation.
We were raised by the greatest generation. Remember that, Mark?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So Kurt and Eric from Kurt's Automotive, I-17 and Bell, they've been flying wing with me this week. And you guys take appointments.
Yes.
And you guys are open.
Yes.
And we're running the bays and everything else.
Yes.
And I don't know, your guys could be in moon suits. I don't know. Some of the people have been in moon suits.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Our guys are using masks and lots of gloves. So we're doing the best we can to minimize that kind of stuff. But we have lines drawn on the lobby area that's 3 feet back, and then the counter's 3 feet, so there's the 6 feet. I talked to my son the other day, and he says, Dad, nobody has paid attention to those lines. Nobody. They walk in. I mean, and we've reduced our seating in our lobby to 3 chairs, 10 feet apart, instead of having 10 chairs. Yeah. and they still pull it together and will talk to yeah. one another. So there's nothing you can do.
No.
We can't spank our customers.
It don't work very good.
Yeah. They usually don't come back if you spank them. Yeah. You know, hey, get your chair away from over there. Doesn't work. So anyway, anything else new in your lives?
No.
Is Eric better every day, or is he on the flat line?
Well, he's got to the place where he's learning something every day,
yeah.
but he's also getting old enough he's forgetting stuff, too. So he's about holding his own.
I want to tell you something. The Rolodex in your head, the older you get, you can hear going, and you're trying to think of somebody's name, and your wife's going to, and you just say, shut up, I'll get it in a minute. And that's it. You know, I'm at the point now, I'm sure everybody out there is going to be saying the same thing. I got to open up a couple cabinets in the garage to just find out where I put the carb spray. And if I put it in the same cabinet every time, I wouldn't have a problem. So anyway, Mark at MarkSalem.com. If you want to send me an email, I'll answer it. Mark at MarkSalem.com. If you call the shop, Salem Boys, leave your name and phone number, and I call from a blocked line for obvious reasons. So either one of those two are a way to get a hold of me. And Salem Boys Auto, talk to my daughter, Andy, and she'll put you in touch with me, or Mark at MarkSalem.com.